Hello, good evening and welcome back. It's In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post, ahead of another fantastic winter weekend of top class racing and the excitement building for finally seeing Constitution Hill back on a race course. Will we see the old Constitution Hill at Newcastle, or will the new Lion beat the new Constitution Hill? Or is Anzadam any good? I'm not sure the man to my left necessarily will be answering yes to that question. We've also got a maximum feel for the first time in about 20 years, second time in about 20 years, in fact, for the Coral Gold Cup over at Newbury. And it is an absolute banger of a lineup. It's one of the lineups where I genuinely thought I'd been transported back 20 years. I was scrolling down looking for Madison de Burleigh, those type of horses. It's that type of race. Whether we can find a winner in it remains to be seen. Very different proposition indeed. Of course, we've got a couple of nice handicap hurdles over at Newbury as well that might throw up a nice horse. And of course, the rehearsal chase at Newcastle. Which is a proper staying test, and should be an exciting event as well. There's lots to like and lots to get through. So let's crack on, shall we? In the company of Mr. Paul Keighley to my left, where, yeah, the Coral Gold Cup, mate, it's a proper race.
It's fantastic, isn't it? It's great to see it. I mean, last year was so disappointing, wasn't it? Only 13 runners turned up. Now we've got a full field of 24. 5-1 the field, should probably be more than that. It's that wide open. Yeah, fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Which category does it fall into? The one where you went, I could give 20 horses a chance, or the one where one bubbled to the top?
No, it was one of those where I could give loads of horses a chance. Like, you know, I've come down on a couple, which we'll talk about later, but yeah, there's plenty you can give chances to. You can't be really confident in a race like that.
No. Well, you never know, but sometimes it's funny, isn't it? Sometimes races like that, you look at and you end up just thinking, well, that'll win, or that's the bet. And sometimes, yeah, you kind of want to avoid betting them because they're almost too good and too exciting. But
yeah, I mean, I never, you know what I mean? The harder it is, the more I want to have a bet anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I'm that sort
of punter. Yeah, I want to crack that puzzle. So yeah. But no, nothing. I can't say anything really, really jumped at me.
Okay, good, right. Look, just having a bit of a nightmare with the old earpiece. Just clip that back on. So, no, there isn't a clip there. Lovely. Right, anyway, never mind. Let's hope that Tom Siegel has got his earpiece in. you've got the professional setup at home. Of course, Tom, look at that. Look at that. It's, again, it's all green screen in there. People don't know it, but it's all green screen. That's not even a real cushion, is it?
Better put it upside down, the right way up. No, it's all fake in here.
Yeah, absolute crackerjack of a lineup at Newbury. What else are you looking forward to?
Newbury. That's what I'm looking forward to. I've said it, I've written these things so many times. The Hennessy, or the Coral Gold Cup as it now know, was my favourite race growing up. It was the race where the second season Gold Cup horse ran against the really good horses. And this has a bit of a feel to one of those again. You know, you've got a horse that in the frame in the Gold Cup at the top of the weights against loads of sort of up and coming nice young horses. It's a really fascinating race. I can't wait to watch it, but as you boys have alluded to, it's blinking hard to crack, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is just a little bit, but again, the joy of it is you can take a crack at a decent price, and there'll be extra places on offer as well, and you just hope you get round. But I mean, like most of the handicap chasers, though, still looking for those bold jumping prominent races.
Yeah, most of the time. Yeah. Looking for, that's it. That's what I like. I mean, we see it time and time again, don't we? Something that, listen, you just don't know. I mean, I wrote a piece earlier in the week about how we all get fooled by these brilliant jumpers, and then you know, every horse falls, every horse whacks into a fence. You can't be guarantee anything in any jump race. I watched loads of those races today, and you wouldn't have dreamed up what the scenario was going to happen if you'd thought of, you know, when you think about these things beforehand, you sort of say, this is what's going to happen. It never happens like that, jump racing. Or it doesn't for me, anyway. And so, listen, I want to find a horse that's going to jump well up with the pace. Whether that happens is anyone's guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we are live and interactive, of course, right now. Unless you're watching it on pre-record, in which case you're probably thinking, just get crack on with the racing. But don't forget, there is a fast-forward button. And there's also a like button. And there's also a subscribe button as well. Plenty of you are not subscribed, you're watching right now and you haven't subscribed, I mean, I don't know. You might, who knows what you're missing out on? You'll only know if you press that subscribe button. Paul Keighley sends special messages to subscribers every now and then, don't you, Keels? just little supportive messages like, have a good day, mate.
You know, kind of like, yeah, but I wouldn't even know what to do, to be honest.
No, no, fair enough. Paul Keighley's not subscribed, so, you know, don't do what he does. Hello to Michael Graham. He says, can't wait to see what the new Lion can do. What do you think? We'll find out in a little bit. Gomez, hello to you, to Alistair, to Chris Reed, to Tom Leach, to William C.B., and to Sky Blue Rudds, who is already in capital letters. And if you fancy your horse strongly, make sure you put it in caps, and I'll be able to pick it out from the chat and read it out on the show. So, lovely stuff. Right, we'll get into the racing in just a second, but also don't forget, it is the 28th of November, which, is it Black Friday? I don't know, Black Friday goes on for about 3 months, doesn't it? But you can get 30% off every single Racing Post Plus package available, so you can get the ultimate package for only 96p a day, which is Paul Keighley's salary as well, so there you go.
That's about right.
Yeah, that's about right, 96p a day. Lovely stuff. Anyway, I'll stop taking the mick out of your Keels and get cracking on with the races, shall we? Newbury and Newcastle to get through. There's other stuff to talk about as well. Of course, plenty of graded action on Sunday over at Fairy House. But we will start off at Newbury with one of a handful of red-hot handicap hurdles. 2.5 miles the distance here for this race. And French Ship is 7-2 favourite. Ludor, 6-1. Dominic's Fault, 7's Guard Duty, 7's Loverdose, is 8-1. Personal Ambition, 10's with Royal Rambler, and 12-1 bar those. And this is another one of those races. As we were saying about the Coral Gold Cup Keels, where sometimes you look at a race and you think, well, surely he's the best horse in the race, surely he's the bet. And the front two in the market both come off the back of wins. The second favourite, you know, pretty much lapped the field at Bangor. But
yeah, hard to know what to make of that one. I mean, the race just sort of fell apart, didn't he? Won by 27 lengths. Yeah. And it could be
anything.
He could remain thrown in, couldn't he? But what did he go up £13 for it?
Mm. However, the it's one of those ones where actually quietly more impressed with Friendship in a way. I like the way he's progressing.
Yeah, Friendship was good. I'm a little bit concerned. I know he has won on soft ground at a lower level. Just worries me that they took him out of Cheltenham because the ground was soft. And I know it's not that soft at the moment. There is some rain forecast, and it all depends on how much we get with that. Mm-hmm. So it depends. It's definitely softer on the hurdle course anyway than it was on the chase course, but not 100% certain he wants that. I've backed Guard Duty.
Okay.
To me, he just looked like a horse that was miles ahead of his mark on two occasions last season until his final run where he just finished tailed off. But I'm hoping, a bit like Keeble who won today, he's got a similar profile. He's like won his two previous ones and then had one more run and it was one too many.
Yep.
But he hacked up at Windsor from Hartington, who was second in the big stayers hurdle at Haydock last week. And then he beat Loverdose here on the bridle. Just cruised in it from the back, didn't he? Didn't he actually jump very well either? Mm. And won hard held under Harry Cobden. Now, I know Cobden is riding French Ship, but Gavin Sheehan had ridden Guard Duty both before and afterwards. And I just think, yes, he's £10 higher, but I still think he's potentially quite well handicapped.
Well, and also, I mean, it might have been one too many, or it might have been, you know, they did step up to 3 miles at Uxeter in a red hot race. It's a right old.
Yeah, it was
test
a very good. Yeah, it was a very good race that. Yeah, and it might have been one too many, and it might well have been the trip. But whatever the case, I think he's definitely better than that.
Yeah.
And the way he won last time, and again, the way he won, and it was on this track as well. I like horses that win at the track and come back to it, show their best form there, and then come back to it. So I thought we'd have a good shout.
Yeah, okay. Emma Lavelle's got another one in here. I thought Royal Rambler was a little bit interesting. Should come on for that reappearance. A couple of good times in soft ground earlier on in the season. But yeah, I thought he ran well for a long way at Cheltenham. He looked rusty.
He did. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty you can fancy in here. I think Personal Ambition's got races in him.
Yeah.
Off that sort of mark, back over fences this season. I think he's about £7 lower than he is over fences. I've had a very, very small bet on No Ordinary Joe, just in case, because the ground's going to be soft and he's at the right trip. And
again.
Something's going on with that horse, I'm sure. But no, the main bet for me was Guard Duty.
All right. Guard Duty is a 7-1 shot here. Friendship 7-2. Lou Dor, like I said, is the horse that absolutely dotted up. I crunched some numbers, Tom. I look for handicap hurdlers who won by 25 lengths or more on their last handicap hurdle win, and then next time out also running a handicap hurdle. 30 of them won from 141, so 21% strike rate, but you would have lost 34 quid back in them, because of course everyone will be backing them to a certain extent. But you don't get many that, you know, it's often horses who are rated 95 and end up being rated 135. You don't necessarily get ones of Ludor's quality who win that far and then come into a race of this nature and still look like they might have more to give.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those races, isn't it? You can make chase for it. I personally, of the two recent winners, prefer Friendship. I thought that was a strong race at Cheltenham, and I thought he won it very easily. I think there's more to come from him. Just a price thing, isn't it? As Keel says, if the rain comes, it might not. I mean, I can't believe it's going to be bottomless ground, but I can't. I mean, he's pulled him out, as Keel says, on soft ground, so that would be against him. I did like the Guard Duty form, but when I was doing it earlier in the day, I sort of gave Loverdose a chance of turning it around. Not because Guard Duty didn't win very easily, but it was just that Guard Duty was on a roll. He had Horrid Carrie Cobden. It is his first run of the season. Loverdose was a bigger price. He's better off at the weights. And he'd had a run. And I just like the horse. I just like horses that run and run through the line. And every single time he runs through the line. He's doing, you know, I just like him. I think he's very genuine, very solid. And if the rain comes and it gets soft, I think he'll run a big race again. He always does. He's the type of horse I really like. He's just never going to be the sort of sexy one because it's Robert Wolford and Harry Kimber and it's not, you know, it's not Flash Stables by any stretch of the imagination. But I just like the horse. I think he's just the type of horse that if the rain came and it got soft, will just keep on running and give you a really, really good run for your money. Whether he's quite good enough to beat a Friendship or, you know, Personal Ambition beat Django Bay and he's a bigger price, which he wasn't earlier in the day. But I just like the horse. He's just the horse up. That's what I like. And I think he's got the profile. I'm a big preparation guy. I don't really like... made a mistake today. I backed a horse that had a long absence in the last race, and funnily enough, he pulled up because, and it's just not like I don't like guessing about preparation, and Loverdose is going to be perfectly prepped, and I think he'll run well, so he would do for me.
I mean, especially I think it's even more pronounced this year. Obviously, we had an incredibly dry summer and autumn, so especially if you're a soft ground horse. And you know you probably haven't had a chance to properly get them fit at home. I mean, there was a couple of Colin Tizzards yesterday. Was it Taunton? I mean, he had two or three horses, two off the back of absence, one making their debut, and they were sent off short prices, and they were beaten out of sight. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, Joe Tizzards, and this is a yard whose horses are in fantastic form, but it feels like, again, I don't know if it's because of the preparation that the horses haven't been able to be properly trained on the ground that they want. But, yeah, I don't want to be backing anything off a 300-plus day absence at the moment.
No, not really. And listen, and the reason it was a big mistake for me, sir, is because it's a short price anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you're taking a risk at them, I think Keel's Tip won the last, didn't he? About 12 or 14 to 1. That had a break, but that's all right. Yeah. No one minds doing that when you're 14 or 16 to 1. But when you're short price, it was a mistake, and I was cross with myself for doing it. And I just, as you say, just want to take that sort of guesswork out of it a bit at this stage. And so Loverdose would do for me. I think he's going to run really well.
Okay. Loverdose is an 8-1 shot. On the chat, let's have a look. What have we got? Anything in here? Any fancies at all in this handicap hurdle? The answer is no. So I thought it was a good race, but
it's very hard, though, isn't it? It is a hard race.
Fair, it is. It is a hard race, but
it's a proper competitive card through and through, isn't it? Great.
Oh yeah, it's a. It genuinely feels like I don't know. Once you tip over 40, maybe you just start reminiscing about everything. But it genuinely feels like when I was first getting into racing, 18, 19, 20 years old, the Newbury Cup, this is what Saturday cards felt like.
Absolutely,
I love looking big field handicap, hurdle big field handicap chases. Yeah. It was good. Yeah. And tomorrow feels like a real proper one. A real throwback. So, right, Friendship is 7-2 favourite for that 140 at Newbury. A couple of selections from the panel as we go over to Newcastle for the fighting fifth. Constitution Hill 7-4, the New Lion 15-8, Anzerdam 15-8, Golden Ace 28-1, Nemean Lion 66-1. A small field, as is always the case in these 2 mile graded races. But of course, Constitution Hill had a bit of a mare, followed by a bit more of a mare, followed by, yeah, the hat trick of mares in the spring. But how many times have we seen Nicky Henderson bring a horse back like Constitution Hill? The New Lion is the new kid on the block, and of course Dan Skelton is winning everything that he aims for at the moment. And Anzerdam was supposed to run last week, but has come over to take on Constitution Hill and the New Lion. Potentially, I don't know, potentially Willie's thinking Constitution Hill might not be back, the New Lion off the back of an absence, and maybe those two are vulnerable. Champion Hurdle winner Golden Ace is 28-1, Nemean Lion might be the pace of the race at 66-1, but yeah, all eyes on the Fav, of course, here, Tom. And the weird thing is, right, obviously, we've had a million headlines about Constitution Hill. And it feels like, it wasn't until I clicked on his form today and I thought, I mean, it was only 2 months. It was 2 months of running badly. And I feel like the amount of times we talked about this horse, that I've kind of got a feeling in me that I was like, ah, he's completely gone at the game. And I looked and I thought, it was 2 months. So there is a potential he just had a bad run of things and he'll bounce right back.
It was one shocking run, wasn't it? And two falls.
Yeah.
You know, he could easily bounce back. He could easily bounce back. But I think Keels has said it many times. And, you know, I've had to write something on Constitution Hill every day this week.
Yeah.
Every day someone's phoned up and said, can you write something about Constitution? Well, what's to say? If he's at his best, he'll win. If he's not as his best, he probably won't. And it's, I don't know which one of them it is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't know. I just don't know. How can you be confident what you're going to get? I hope he wins. I think he'll make the running. I think that's the one thing they will definitely do with him is make the running. I think they'd be mad not to. He could easily win this. He could easily bounce back. And, come March, we could be thinking 7-4 to win the fighting fifth. What a ridiculous price that was. But at this stage, as we're sitting here now, I have no idea what he's going to do. I don't love the New Lion at 15-8 against, I don't like Anzerdam. It's just a hard race. It's just a hard race. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to watching it, but I don't know what's, I have no, yeah. I literally, no clue.
I can absolutely promise you, Tom, and I know you don't believe me sometimes, but I'm definitely not having a bet in this race.
I don't believe you.
I haven't got the faintest idea. Yeah. I mean, and that's the absolute truth. I mean, we know that the New Lion has looked really good at 2.5 mile, but yep. Wendigo, who won today, I mean, he's a 3 mile chaser with a make it, isn't he? The Yellow Clay, who only beat by 3/4 of a length at Cheltenham, looked like a slow old boat on his return, didn't he?
Yeah.
Final Demand, who was 5 lengths further back, looked a superstar, but I've got this serious suspicion that we didn't see the real Final Demand at Cheltenham. Mm-hmm. And so we just don't know. He's never been asked to go 2 miles. And now he's going 2 miles in the highest of high class, isn't he? Like against Constitution Hill. So that's guesswork. And I think there's even more guesswork involved with Anzerdam.
Oh, I mean, but
he's had two
runs.
Anzerdam
might bolt up here. But compared to the other two, it's an appalling price.
You could literally put any figure you like on his two runs for Willie Mullins and be wrong by about 25%.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? That's the thing. He's beaten Carla Conti, giving, I think it was £5 less than weight for sex, by 6 lengths. She's rated 138 or 140 or whatever. And then beaten Beacon Edge, the 11-year-old Beacon Edge. He was giving £2 by 11 lengths. I mean, he wants more than 2 miles anyway.
Yeah.
Would have got turned over in a claimer at Wexford when he last ran if the leader hadn't fallen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how do you put a decent, you know, how do we have any idea how good he is? Now, you know, my argument last week was, well, you know, if they felt the need to replace him with Lossiemouth to win a rank bad Morgiana,
yeah,
then surely, you know, he can't be the one for Willie Mullins, like, you know, when it comes to being the champion at Lossiemouth. But somebody else pointed out and said, well, they know what they've got with Lossiemouth and they certainly wouldn't learn anything in the Morgiana. So why not send him here? I don't know. That's a fair argument. Why not send him here? So you will have some sort of idea, because you wouldn't get it. You wouldn't have got a clue out of that race on Sunday. So,
but I
and there's been money for him. There's been a lot of money for him this morning. Yeah.
But I
don't know.
I don't know. I always get the feeling that in the same way that Aidan O'Brien, you know, Derby horses will win at home, I feel like a lot of the time these horses are coming. They're coming over for us to test the opposition, not necessarily as the best of the bunch. And I feel
what do you think? If there is a bet in the race, do we just lay him? Well, does he value lay if he's
yeah, possibly. I mean, the more I start talking, look. Just to go back to the new line as well, I mean, you're saying about the 2.5 mile angle, but, you know, you look at the winners of this race, Bouvardere, Cornerstone Lad, Epitome, Not So Sleepy, Constitution, they're all 2.5 miles, milers to a certain extent. Yeah. A lot of the champion hurdlers that have won in the past 10 or 15 years are 2.5 milers. So, I don't know.
It's not the trip thing, Ross. It's not the trip thing with the new line, because I'm a big believer that horses are much more versatile than people give them credit for. I mean, good horses win over all trips.
Yeah.
But it's just how good is he?
Yeah.
You know, that's my thing about it. I just don't know how good he is. And that's you know, he could easily win. He's going to be prepped. He's going to be perfect. He could be the second coming. He could be. He's won every race he's running. Mm. But I still don't know how good he is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's the same as Anzerdam. I just don't know.
But the more we talk, the more I look at this race, I think Anzerdam's probably, it reminds me, he's a bit Salvatore Mundi, or those kind of horses that William, they know they're good, they've got ability, but they also know the best way to get a good horse, you know, to really solidify into a great horse, is to run him in good races early on, and then when Anzerdam's 6 and 7, then he's a really good horse. I feel like Anzerdam could get beat 5 or 6 lengths by the front two, and in 18 months, be a champion hurdle horse. Whereas it feels like tomorrow, Constitution Hill has a lot to prove. The new line has a lot to prove. And I kind of hope they jump the last neck and neck. That's the race I want to see, Tom, in a way.
Someone said to me yesterday that the one horse they don't want to see winning is Anzerdam. Not because they don't like Anzerdam or they don't like it, but it sort of sets the tone for the season then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what you're going to get, Lossiemouth going to the Met. Everything changes, doesn't it? And it would be nice to have, you know, Lossiemouth in the champion hurdle, Constitution, and them all turning up, wouldn't it? It would be just great. Whereas if Anzerdam wins by 15 lengths, it might just be a shambles, mightn't it? For the champion hurdle, be four runners again.
Yeah, you're right. I think, again, the thing I would say, though, is I didn't think I was going to say. My initial thought yesterday was that I couldn't back Constitution Hill in a million years, but the more I think about it, the more I looked at him, the more I thought he was good on his return. Like, he's always good on his return, and it was literally, if he fell at Cheltenham, he went back to Aintree, and it was a mistake. It was a strange ride. It was a decision by Nico that went awry. Punchestown was the worst decision I've seen all winter. That felt like stubbornness to me.
Mm.
If you've got a horse falling at Cheltenham, falling at Aintree, why would you go to Punchestown?
Yeah, but we still won't know what's in his head until, if he's still remembering it, because he didn't want to line up, did he?
No, but no, you're right. But like, I guess, you know, if you have a bad week followed by another bad week followed by another bad week, you know, you need just walk away. You know, have a bit of a break.
Yeah.
He's had
well,
the break.
It depends on how he takes it, doesn't he? I mean, I hope he's back. I mean, he's put up some of the best performances I've ever seen over hurdles. It'd be brilliant if he is back, but I'm just not prepared to back him to be back. I am concerned about distance, by the way, from what Tom says. I mean, all the new line's pedigree is stayers.
Yeah.
Right, you know, I mean, his brother to Katira, who gets 3 miles. He's a half brother to El Bezenti. He got beat a length and a quarter at a Whitbread.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, like, you know, everything about him says that he should be a stayer. I know he does travel well, but how good was that race, actually, if Final Demand didn't run his best?
Yeah. No, fair.
Or how good is Final Demand heels?
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? This is the thing, isn't it? You can make excuses for horses all the time.
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, of course you can. Although he did jump well, he did just beat the same horse he beat at Leopardstown last year, didn't he? So he didn't tell us anything new. Just told us he could jump.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm, yeah.
I'm with you, Ross. I think Constitution Hill's going to win because I think they'll make the running on him. And I think he might just win tomorrow. I think this might be just the time to get him first time up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he wins here, I would consider backing him for the champion hurdle.
No.
But I think he might win this.
But it's also worth remembering, look, I mean, Django Bay, incredible last week. Act of Innocence, in Post Noir today. I mean, there was a horse, two horses yesterday, one at Lingfield, Noble Park, handicap chaser, one at Hereford. It was pretty good. Absolutely bolted up yesterday. There was another horse. I know he was a 1-25 shot, you talked to the Charisma. Did everything wrong, pulling, reefing, this, cantered hope. Henderson's horses at the moment.
Oh, they come alive at this meeting as well, don't they? Yeah. It's just his time. This is when his season starts to a certain extent, isn't it? He'll know that he comes in. He did it again with Act of Innocence in the first of the day, his seventh win in 11 years or whatever that race.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I can certainly see him.
Yeah. Anyway, let's hope we see.
I'm not having a bet because I genuinely don't know.
No, no, I won't be having a bet. I just think he'll win. I think he'll win, but I wouldn't back him at 7-4.
So. Ross, I'm going to text you at 2:05 tomorrow when Kiehl's goes yeehaw when Lion wins 3-1.
The Mian Lion, you mean, don't you?
Yeah,
8-1.
Well, before we move on, it's also worth remembering that we've had a Cornerstone Lad win this. We've had a Not So Sleepy win this. Yeah. We've had some weird fighting fists.
We haven't even mentioned the champion hurdler.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, go on then quickly then, Tom. Golden Ace.
No,
well, she's not. She's
well, why. I mean, she probably needs all of them to fall, but I mean, stranger things happened in the champion hurdle, didn't they? So
yeah, absolutely. Frizzy Red said, remember that this is a horse, the favourite Constitution Hill, beat Jump On by 22 lengths. What else have we got? I'd rather take a punt on Constitution Hill staying upright than the others improving, says Paul. But either way, be mad to have a bet. And what else have we got apart from that? That's about it. So okay.
I'd love to know the turnover figures for that race.
Say again.
I'd love to know the turnover figures from bookmakers for that race on the day.
It's a bit of a cop-out because we're coming on here and people want to know who we're going to back. But it's hard. That's the one race I just wouldn't know where to start.
Look, if you said to me, I've given you a tenner, and either you have a bet, if you back a horse, or I, you know, chop your legs off, I'd have the tenner on Constitution Hill. But yeah, I want to get excited about it from the purest point of view, like yourself, Tom.
That's it. It's a great race. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Right, the Jody Field, and I think I'll be having a bet in this though. Right, this is more the type of race to
I have.
Let's see what we've got. Indivar Blur is 11-4. Indemnity 4-1. Viani 9-2. Liv Conti is 7-1 with Give It To Me OJ. 15-2 Last Rodeo. 12-1 Tutti Quanti and Hot Fuss. And you've also got Col de Prey. First start for Venetia Williams, who had her first winner of the season yesterday.
Second.
Did she have a second?
No, Jello won, didn't it? And then she had the...
Yeah, she had a winner the other day. So
oh, yeah, of course, Jello, yeah. How could I forget Jello? Yeah, fair enough. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. No, I mean, genuinely, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I forgot about Jello. Seems like a lifetime ago, that's why. Now, we've got the Jerry Fielder, which is an intermediate handicap hurdle, and we have a 7-year-old as favourite, Giles. What has been going on with Indivar Blur?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they seem to fancy it, and he's been, you know, he looked quite progressive, but it's only beat a 10-year-old at Foss last in April, like, you know, in Stream of Stars. I was a bit surprised. I genuinely thought Indemnity would be about 2-1 favourite. If I'm telling the truth, I know there's plenty of unexposed sorts in the race, but obviously that second to Alexei Asker is looking remarkably good form, and I know the third got beat next time, but I'm pretty sure he would have won if he hadn't been nearly brought down. He only got beat 6 lengths in the end, having got knocked back from second to last place back at Asker. And you know, Indemnity himself was on a four-timer. He absolutely breezed through the race and then got beat by a horse who's now £20 higher,
yep,
having won the Great Wood by 6 lengths. I know the ground is different, but if you ever look at his form for Roger Varian, one of his best ever runs came on every ground at Salisbury. When he missed a kick, he rushed round the outside to get a position still only got beat half a length, and only one of the other 10 runners managed to finish within 10 lengths of the winner.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any doubt about him on the ground, and he's just got a lovely low weight. And I look at some of the four-year-olds in this race, and you know, I suppose it all depends on what you think of the four-year-old form. And I know Dan Skelton's supposed to like Live Conti, but I mean, the market's telling you everything there, because he was 5-2, Anti Post, and he's now 15-2.
And we've seen the hurdlers in particular, the good Skelton hurdlers, they're coming on for a run massively.
Yeah, I mean, he got, you know, he did run well when, you know, but he got beat 6 lengths by Mercier, he got beat 7 lengths by Lou Lamba, and he's got a mark of 143. He's got to give £21 to indemnity.
Yeah.
And we know how hard it can be for 4-year-olds, and it's a shame we give it to Mioja. You looked, you know, and there's a line of form as well. He looked anything like a 1-4-3 horse when scrambling home by a neck at Cheltenham in that conditions race. At the start of the season, I think those two, I don't think either of them got any chance, personally. So
they've got some chance, I will, well, timing, a little bit.
Well, maybe, but I'm 12 stone, I just think they're handicapped out of it myself, unless they've got huge amounts of improvement in them, so I can't have them at all. And I just thought Indemnity deserves to be a fairly short price favourite.
Okay. Yeah, Indemnity is a 4-1 shot. The last decade, we've had 25 four-year-olds running this. Two have won, but they were both ex-flat horses, includes Who Dares Wins, who, of course, was Moxley for Alan King. They were very experienced four-year-olds. Mm. They'd had loads of runs on the flat. They'd had plenty of runs over hurdles, whereas, you know, Liv Conti in particular is a very inexperienced
It's going to be hard for them, I think.
Yeah. The other interesting four-year-old is Viani, though, who's a fairly experienced flat runner and should have no problems with conditions. He's strong in the market for Harry Derham and Paul O'Brien. And again, Harry Derham, I think, likes a Newbury horse for sure. He's got a good record here. I think
he made a meal of winning at Ludlow after, you know, he was quite promising behind Lou Lambert, I know, in January. But not make a meal of winning at Ludlow after that.
Yeah.
It's one of those. You know, he had an official rating of 118 and he went up to 124 for that win at Ludlow.
Yeah. Well, this is the issue with four-year-olds, isn't it? It's like 2-year-olds in nurseries and novice and listed. They get lumped up very, very quickly, and there's only a few of them that actually...
Yeah, I mean, I know he did beat a 120-something rival in the first place, but it didn't blow me away. I think, oh, this is a really nice horse myself.
Yeah. I think you're being a bit harsh to give it to me, OJ. I know it's potentially a big ask, but he's fit. He comes from a yard who specialised in this sort of horse, in this sort of race, Tom. And like you said, I mean, he just keeps winning. Whatever you throw at him, he relishes it. He'll handle the conditions. He's won over hurdles here at Newbury before. And I don't know, he feels a bit like, to me, like one of those horses who's going to end up in a Betfair hurdle or William Hill hurdle or whatever it's called.
I'm sure he will. Yeah.
Later on in the year. I thought Keels was a little bit harsh dismissing him because he's fit and he just keeps doing it.
Yeah. I mean, Keels is much more into his weights than you probably are, Ross. And I get where Keels is coming from. He's got a lot of weight for what he's actually achieved, yeah. I think the interesting one is Hot Fuss myself. At 12-1.
He's
the best flat. He's a lot better than, well, he's about £10 better than Indemnity on the flat. He was 93 before he ran in the Doncaster race, which would have been a warm-up race from the November handicap. I think Indemnity is about 85, is he? Or something like that. Anyway, he ran an amazing race in the Brudels last year.
Yeah, he did. I remember saying, he'll turn up in the Chester Cup and win. And I mean, we were right for half of that at least.
He turned up, but then he pulled too hard, didn't he? And he just never got settled that day. Now, he didn't run too bad at all in the November handicap.
I was disappointed with him, and I haven't forgiven him because I backed him.
There we go. I thought he ran okay because I'm a big fan of him. I have been a big fan of him, and I was sort of keeping a close eye on him. And I thought he actually finished okay. Looked to me like he wasn't quite there and ready to run in a race like that. So I wondered if he'll bounce back here. He likes soft ground. He will like soft ground if it gets soft. Mm. He's had a run. He's as good as Indemnity on the flat. He's probably not as quick as Indemnity, to be fair. But I think he's got a chance for sure. He'd be my selection at this. I didn't tip him because I just, you know, as Keel said, it didn't quite run up to scratch last time. I also had a look at last rodeo, but I don't know where that price has gone. It's gone very quickly this afternoon, because he was a big price yesterday.
Well, he went, so he was entered at Cheltenham for,
correct,
and he was 25 correct to 1 into single figures and pulled out. So you got the feeling, and he was a big, you know, he almost got brought down at Cheltenham before that, didn't he? And he ran really well up to that point. And he looks like one of those horses, like you know what I was saying about the horse in the preview, so the 118 horses who might end up being 138. Oh, he might be one of those, but the price went last time and he was pulled out, and whoever was backing him last time out is quick on the button again.
I like backing horses like that. They've got really got not much form behind the name. I know he won a Lingfield maiden hurdle very easily. But I like backing them when they're big prices, not when they're suddenly 7-1. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've done this so many times and got it wrong. That when they're big prices, you can afford to have a crack at them. I don't know if 7-1 or whatever he is now is much value. I can't see it on the form book. I'm with Kim. I think Indemnity is the one.
Yep.
I'm still slightly concerned about the stable. I know she's had loads of horses run well. But it was Marchand too that made me think that one of these horses that have been running well, just a little bit concerned. Classic King today looked just like got out the back and never got into the race. I don't know. That was my only worry about that. And that's maybe why he's 4-1 and not favourite what he was. But I do think Hot Fuss will run well.
Yeah. Okay. Hot Fuss then for Killers fan Tom Siegel. And on the chat, let's have a look. We've got Paul says Hot Fuss's form on soft ground is very good and looks well handicapped. And Big Shug says Hot Fuss is a maniac. So we've got plenty of opinions there. But I think Give It To Me OJ is one of those horses that people think they discount him and then he wins, and they'll discount him and then he'll win again. And then they discount him and he wins, and they discount him and he wins, and he'll end up winning. You know, three grade two-mile hurdles over the next 3 years. You know, it'll be a Goshen, the new one type of horse. He feels like one of those type of horses to me.
He'll be a Goshen. I mean, that's it. He's done now.
Yeah,
he's finished already.
He's significantly more consistent than Goshen, but that's not particularly high bar, is it? So you're going with Indemnity?
I'll go with Indemnity. I get what Tom's saying about the form, but I have backed a couple of Lavelle horses, so I'm hoping they're going to be all right on the day.
Okay, fair enough. And Hot Fuss for Tom, and I'll go for Give It To Me OJ. All right, moving on then to the next race on the Newbury card, the big one of the weekend, the Coral Gold Cup Handicap Chase, 3 miles and a quarter here, 24 runners. And Maya Town is 5-1 favourite here. Resplendent Grey 13-2. The Changing Man 9s. Highland 11s. Katati Dory 11s. The Doyen Chief 12s. Panic Attack 12s. Blizzard of Oz is 12s. I've also got Victorino for Venetia Williams, a horse with form in this race. Gorgeous Tom coming over for Henry de Bromhead. Highland, who's still got his fans. Spanish Harlem, who's suddenly found the winning thread. And of course, Monty Star, who, I mean, this will be a kick around in the back garden compared to some of the races that he's been racing in over the past few seasons. But people love Lucinda Russell and Michael Scudamore improving staying handicap chaser, and rightly so over the past few years, Tom. And Maya Town, off the back of an absence, but looked very, very good when we saw him back in March.
Yeah, he did. He looked brilliant, didn't he? I think I was about the only one that didn't back him when he won the Ultima that day. Did everything right, jumped brilliantly, got a very good, you know, I can't believe the £12, whatever he got, will stop him. Just preparation thing for me. It's just, I've been looking at Hennessy's and Coral Gold Cups for donkey's years. It's quite hard to win them first time up. And also, there's just a slight nagging doubt in the back of my mind that he got everything went so well for him at Cheltenham, that nothing really got into the race. The start was a mess. Everything was a mess. You know what I mean? And he was brilliant. Look, he was brilliant. He could have won probably by another 10 lengths if he wanted to. But I don't know. First time up, 5-1, different kettle of fish, up in the weights, different track. He's not for me, is he, at that price? But Murray Smith and the boys, they all like him. They're all on it. All those pros, they're all on him. So maybe it'll go and win, but it's not for me.
I mean, there are literally, there's obviously 23 other options. But, the thing is with this, there are a lot of horses who either coming into this off the back of, a career best win, or horses like Katate Dori, for example, who clearly was having a spin round at Aintree, a spin round behind a horse who might win the Stayers Hurdle based on today, and looked a chaser going places last year. There's also horses at much bigger prices. I mean, for example, if Gavin Cromwell could train a winner, I think Percival Le Gallois was a little bit interesting. He should relish this this test. But what was on your shortlist? Give us your top three, Tom.
Me?
Yeah.
My top three are Blizzard of Oz, Panic Attack, and Resplendent Grey.
All right. And why are they on the shortlist?
Because of preparation, basically. That's my game with this race. I think they're coming in. I think Resplendent Grey, while there's massive holes to be dug in the Carlisle form, just the way he went about it, he struck me as a horse that might have just turned the corner and has always had tons of ability. He's always been one of those lummoxes that lounges around out the back and then just suddenly you find yourself having in third and you sort of think, oh, yeah, blimey, each way money, got that, sort of thing. When he didn't really never put himself in the race. But at Sandown and at Carlisle, he just looked like he turned the corner. So I see him as being a big threat after having the prep run. Katate Dori, I backed each early. I've gone off him massively. I don't fancy him at all. Don't know why. Just don't think he's good enough.
I need to pick into that a bit more. You backed him. You backed him anti-post.
Yeah.
But you've decided he's not good enough even. What's changed? What's done that?
Just you have these things, Ross, where you suddenly change your mind. I don't know he's good enough. I thought the Kempton race was a bit, I don't know.
Bit iffy.
It was too good to be true, and I didn't like him at Aintree. I know he was only having a run around. I don't like backing horses that finish last in the next time in a better race, even if it's hurdles or chases. So, I don't know. I've gone off him anyway. Panic Attack, I like. I don't understand why she's the price she is. She's £3 well in, isn't she? She's got a claim of taking £3 off. I think she'll love the trip. And the other one was Blizzard of Oz. I just thought that which trainers do you want to be on side in big races? Willie Mullins and Dan Skelton. Who did I think had the best chances of those two trainers were Blizzard of Oz, who is crying out for 3.25 miles. Mm. I think he's going to relish the trip. I would be very worried if it got heavy or very soft for him, because I think he's better on decent ground. And I think you'll know your fate with him after about 3 fences. Because I think if he gets into an early good rhythm and JJ Slevin can get him into a good position, I think he'll go really well. He's my main fancy, actually, Blizzard of Oz. He's not been that fluent in some of his races. Mm. And I'm worried in a big field like this, he might just get behind. But I really like him as a horse. If you go back to his debut last year in a novice chase at Navan, I think he was beaten a length by Lecky Watson, who won the Brown Advisory. Second was Slade Steele, who had won the Supreme the year before. Mm-hmm. Fourth was Lombron, who chased home Resplendent Grey in the Bet 365. And fifth was another one of Kiehl's outstanding recent tips. Yeah. Arts to Cape in the Troy Town.
Yes, not bad form, is it?
Very, very good form. Sixth was Staffordshire Knot, who is now rated 147 over hurdles and stuff. So, that's as good a novice chase form as you're going to get. And I just think he's going to relish 3 miles, 2 furlongs, 3.25 miles. So he's my number one choice, but I'm very scared that Panic Attack is going to run a big race as well.
Yeah. Also, eighth in that race was Shambali Kid, who won a handicap chase at Punchestown back in May by 15 lengths. So, yeah, the more you go...
I didn't go down that far.
ninth was Splashing Out, who won a handicap chase at Down Royal 2 weeks ago. So, the more you go down, the better it gets.
Good form, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. So, Blizzard of Oz, have you just tipped Blizzard of Oz on the paper?
No, I've tipped Blizzard of Oz and Panic Attack would be my two.
Okay, fair enough. Mr. Paul Keeley...
Yeah, can't have panic attack, but then I couldn't have panic attack in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, and she absolutely hacked up. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just one of those. When you don't like a horse for some reason, you can't sort of get with them, can you?
Yep.
So she was off my list. My three would be Katati, Dory, Gorgeous Tom, and Blizzard of Oz. Now, Tom's mentioned all about Blizzard of Oz. For the same reasons, Tom, I love My Town because he made my Cheltenham last year, but first time out, only two winners since the days of Denman first time out. One of those was last year, but in a 13-runner race, and this will be so much different. We run at a searching gallop, and
three, by the way, actually. Last year, Cloudy Glen and Bobsworth as well, actually. First time out.
Was that pre-Denman or post-Denman?
That was post-Denman, yeah.
Was it? Oh, God, yeah, I can't even remember. I can't even remember that far back.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right, okay. But,
sorry,
but
I didn't mean to...
It takes some doing, especially in a massive field. Like, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he's good enough. But yeah, I like Katati Dory. I don't have a problem with him finishing seventh of seven to impose to her. He was only beaten 12 lengths. He'd never done a single thing in his life over hurdles. Mm-hmm. That run was actually his best ever performance by about £10 over hurdles. It was also a day when there was only eight hurdles, and he made his name last year by jumping fences.
Yep.
And lots of them. Like, you know, I mean, it's just a completely different test. That was a means to an end, and I've got no problem. He was winning by wide margins before he won that race at Kempton. I know he got beaten at Wincanton. He jumped really stickily that day when he got beat at Wincanton, but he won very easily two times previously. And I don't see why he can't be good enough. He missed the kick at the start of the Ultima. May have found it coming too soon. Anyway, and he's just clearly been laid out for it, as a lot of the others have, obviously. I think he's definitely worth another chance in a big handicap. I like him. Gorgeous Tom. I've just always thought.
I'm disappointed you'd missed that set of hair. That was lovely.
Did you just comb your hair before you said that as well?
You said the glint off the teeth was what made it for me. But yeah, Gorgeous Tom.
I've just always thought he's going to run a big race at some point over a staying trip, and he ran okay in the Brown Advisory, finished fourth, got a bit outpaced, ran on again. Then ran like a complete no-hoper next time at Punchdown, it has to be said. But I liked his return behind Firefox when he made a run and over a trip that I'm sure is way too short for him. And I just think he's going to come on into his own at some point. He is only seven. He's another one, a bit like Thomas said with Blizzard Oz, won't want it to get really, really soft.
Yep.
But it wasn't that soft on the chase course at all today. So I think he'd probably be okay. And... yeah, I quite like him. He's the one of Henry de Bommers that's been given a run. I do quite like Monty Starr at the top, if he'd had a run, because he put up a big run to finish fourth in the Gold Cup. I know he was beaten a fair way in the end, but he nearly fell at the ninth, and then he got badly hampered at the same time as Galloping de Champ did as well. So enough went wrong for him, and he was smashed off the board. He went off at 8-1.
8-1, yeah.
And... like, you know what I mean? And he was a way, way bigger price than a week or so before the race. So, you know, he's got a bit of quality about him. I thought he might want it a bit softer. So if the rain comes, I might have a saver on him.
If you'd have told me, Kiels, that Monty Starr was giving £4 to three-card Bragg, in Coral Gold Cup at the start of the season, I said, well, you're nuts.
Absolutely, yeah.
Three-card bag would be lacked in a Gold Cup, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He would, that is true. The horses who've won this off those sort of marks, though. I mean, like you said, you've got Bobsworth, you've got Denman, obviously. Native River won this off 1.55, of course. Native River beaten in a hurdle.
Darash Account was beaten 21 lengths in a hurdle.
Yeah.
Having won a big race the year before.
Yeah.
Over fences, so yeah, I like the profile of Katati Dory.
Yeah, so do I. I think he's a horse. He at Wincanton back in January, he did everything wrong, and I mean everything wrong. He missed the start. He ploughed through every single fence. He raced wide, and I thought this horse has gone off 11 to 8, but this horse has got no chance. And he nearly won by three lengths. I thought he's got no chance. I thought he was going to pull up, and then he bolted up at Kempton, and I was worried that Cheltenham wouldn't be his track, but like you said, he was slowly into stride, Tom. It was, like you said, it was perfect for Meyer Town. Everything went wrong again for Katate Dori. So I still think he's got a lot more to offer of this mark. And again, Sam,
I hope you're right. I hope you boys are right.
Because you've got an anti-post ticket.
Yeah. It's just one of those. Once you've got an anti-post ticket, you're sort of sitting there thinking, I don't really fancy him anymore. It happens all the time.
You'll be sitting there at home tomorrow going, oh, for God's sake. Oh, great.
Yeah, I've got a minute. I've backed this horse. Sam Thomas has, past 3 weeks as well, he's had 8 runners in handicap chases. He's had 3 winners in a place. The other one to mention as well, by the way, is the changing man. Mm-hmm. Joe Tizard's run 20 horses in handicap chases in the past 3 weeks. 13 have placed, and 6 of those placed, 6 of those have won. So, and they are coming on, they're coming on for the run. Every single Tizard horse is coming on for the run. So the fact that he could run as well as he did first time out, Tom, he's one of those frustrating horses. He's like the hurdler earlier on. He's frustrating if you just back him win only. But if you own him or you back him to place, or you back him each way you have a place spot, he's a dream horse.
The Tizard won this race with a horse called Sizing Tennessee. Mm. He was a 10-year-old. Mm. And he ran off the track. And they couldn't catch, they never saw, he won by miles. And I still don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And the Changing Man's similar. He's similar. You sort of think you know where you are with the Changing Man because he's running so many of the races. I mean, couldn't win the Great Yorkshire last year, could he? Off a much, much lower mark. He was well beaten. And now all of us, you know what I mean? And then he's gone and won at Ascot. He's run really well at Charlie. He keeps running these races, keeps going up in the hand. And you sort of think something will beat him, but maybe something won't. He's got, he's had a perfect preparation into the race. The Tizards are going well. He could easily be the one.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, okay, let's see what we've got on the chat. I like Monty Star for the Grand National, says Billy. Spanish Harlem each way for Aidan Kelly. Again, another horse that I was about 18 months too soon. I thought this horse was well handicapped. I gave up on him and now look at him, which happens in this kind of race, doesn't it? Gorgeous Tom just continues to flatter to deceive. It's a bit harsh. Sorry about that, Tom.
It's harsh.
You keep flattering to deceive, mate. Paul Tolliver says Blizzard of Oz got absolutely no chance. Big Shug says he might back Blizzard of Oz, but his jumping technique isn't the best. King of Moreland says Panic Attack won't finish out of the front three. And let's have a look. Apart from that, that's about it, I think. That's about it. So, look, it's an absolute blinder of a renewal. But, yeah, I'm sticking with first thought, best thought, which was I still think Katate Dori has got a stone in hand on his chase mark. So I'm with him, Keels.
I hope you're right.
And what was your other one?
Gorgeous Tom, who does flatter to deceive, but he keeps rowing me, calling me in. Yeah.
And Tom?
I hope you're right about Katate Dori. He would be my best financial winner, but I have also backed Blizzard of Oz, and I will not be able to avoid backing Panic Attack.
Okay, lovely stuff. Right, a couple more races to go. Hello to Dan Lindley Jones on the chat, who's just waking up from an 8-month sleep. Nice to have you, Dan. Pleasure to see you on the chat there. He is having a panic attack. The rehearsal handicap chase up next then. 3 miles the distance here. Deafening Silence is the 11-4 favourite. Jasmine de Grugy is 7-2. Cruise Control 4-1. Confusion is 9-2. Doc Pick Me is 8-1. 14-1 bar those here for this 3-mile handicap chase. Deafening Silence off the back of an absence for Skelton. And Skelton, Cruise Control for Tom Lacey and Stan Shepherd, also making his seasonal reappearance. Same goes for Jasmine de Grugy. And then in complete contrast, Confusion, who dotted up at Weatherby, unseated at Haydock when sent off favourite, comes back a week later. So very different profiles. Mr. Paul Keighley, what did you like in this?
I take a chance on an outsider, actually. That Confusion got really, really well backed just before the off at Haydock as well. Really well backed. So probably a little bit surprised to see him as big as he is, because he obviously think he's still in good order to be sending him out again. But obviously it's a week renewal with so many runners running in the Coral Gold Cup. I just thought Dare to Shout, yes, he didn't run that well last time, but he won the time before. He's normally pretty consistent. He's been in the first three, eight of 10 chases. I like Anne Hamilton as a trainer. She has no stranger to having horses run well at big prices, and I just thought 22-1 in a field of 8, not bad at Leechway Bet.
Yeah, she's done you a favour or two in the past.
Oh, she has, yeah, good trainer.
Yeah, very good trainer with limited ammunition. What about you, Tom?
Doc Pick Me. I like Doc Pick Me. He won the Great Yorkshire Taste last year, beating the Changing Man. very comfortably. He might not have won if Dobson had fallen at the last, but he's only £2 higher. Richard Hobson's horses are running out of their skins. I think the last two have won. Charlie Maggs takes £5 off. He's only, as I say, I don't think this is a great race. And he ran a really, really good race on his comeback run over hurdles behind Haiti Calor. Now, that form's looking a bit shaky since, but I'm hoping he doesn't do a Haiti Calor and forget to jump any fences. And Dot Pick Me, I just think he's got everything going for him, provided the heavens don't open in Newcastle. If that, I mean, he doesn't really like soft ground at all at the moment. Good to soft would be perfect for him, and I think he'd go really well.
Yeah, he's he had that good form at Doncaster again, and 3 miles left-handed galloping track should be spot on.
I think so. It's I think everything's right for him. I think he'll go well.
All right.
Yeah, Confusion was, by the way, 15-2 last week and went off 9-4 in the end.
Was that the...
It was 15-2 on the early shows, after Dex.
And made it halfway round.
Yeah. I'd like to say it was going really well at the time, but it was obviously way too soon.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You'd hope they were all going really well at that point, wouldn't you? But again, I mean, the yard did have a horse win by half of Doncaster today. They are when the Sue Smith horses hit form, God, I mean, Keith Melrose will tell you, Tom, they hit form. They do.
Oh, Keith, big Keith.
Oh, yeah, absolutely bolt up. Sorry, Keith. Apologise. Not sure. That doesn't sound like you at all, but I enjoyed doing it. Anyway, 3:35 at Newbury's, our last race to have a look at. We've got a 2 mile handicap chase here, where General Medrano is 7-2, Javert Hélène is 7-2, Doyen de Bar 5s, Rathcore Hill 6s with Etalon, 13-2 Rare Edition, and 8-1 Bar those. General Medrano coming back to try and win this race once again. But if you're worried about the Lavelle horses, Tom, then it's a horse to take on. Who are you taking him on with?
Oh, this was really hard. He does. Listen, when I say I'm worried about them, I have no problem backing them at big prices. 7-2, no, I wouldn't back him.
They're not big prices. None of them are going offshore, aren't they?
They are. That's my issue. He was really impressive in this race. I didn't fancy him at all. I thought Issar Dairy was going to win this race by about half the track last year, and General Medrano kicked him out of the way. He has got a massive chance if he's back in that level of form. Don't know. There's a couple of them. Doyen du Bar's interesting. First run for Nicky Richards. Harry Cobden booked. I don't think he's ever ridden for Nicky Richards in his life.
He hasn't.
I thought that was an interesting jockey booking for starters. Rare Edition. I know the owners of Rare Edition. They're good pals of mine. So I'm really hoping he runs well. He's kind of just a bit unfortunate. They thought they'd been really clever and taking him up to Kelso for a nice pot last time and bumped into Thistle Ask. Off a mark rating of about 118 or something, and so he ran fine. I'm hoping he'll run well. I also thought Luminous Light might run well for the Irish trained Luminous Light might run well, just because he's in form. He's won 3 of his last 5. He's jumps fine, won't mind what the ground is, but I think I would in the end I will end up probably leaving the race alone, because I think it's too hard.
Rare Edition's interesting, isn't it? I mean, he's obviously had a fairly frustrating career, hasn't he? He's got a lot of ability, but the yard did have a handicap chaser win today again. This Alaska was at about 7 stone in hand, didn't he? So
he had a little problem. He was supposed to run at Ascot last week, and he missed that. But I say that I'm reliably informed he's raring to go. See what I did there?
The worry is he a fluid jumper, or is he a bit square in the air when he jumps?
Hey, see what you did there?
There you go.
His jumping could be an issue around there, to be fair.
Yeah. Other horses, Rathcore Hill, we didn't mention him. He's 2-2 at Newbury off the back of an absence, but he could still have more to offer.
I do like horses for courses, for sure. But I also like Doyen du Bar quite a lot. Now, he is a fair bit shorter than he was this morning, so plenty of other people have joined in, but you like horses with a winning mentality, don't you? I mean, he's only run 12 times in his life for Pauline Robson. He won 6 of them. And he only got beat by one horse from November onwards last year in 4 chase starts. That was Vincenzo, whose next 2 runs were second in the Great Wood and then second in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. And he's £10 higher. I mean, obviously he didn't beat much when he won on his last start, but he also beat Booster Bob, who won a Great Wood afterwards. It's just a really uncomplicated horse who'll hopefully just make all.
All right. Fair enough. And anything else to mention on the weekend? Of course, Tom, Sunday's a big day over at Fairy House.
11:36 tomorrow, Ross.
Right, okay.
What's the 11:36 at Fairy House tomorrow? What a novice chase that is.
Oh, is it one of these? It's one of these, isn't it? Okay, right.
It is one of these. Yeah. You've got the Big Westerner, you've got Jimmy DeSoy, you've got the Wall Park.
Oh, hello, yeah.
They're all in there. They're all in there. How good is Jimmy DeSoy's form looking? Absolutely hacked all over in Post Trois last year, didn't he, in the Coral Cup?
It's true.
Really looking
good. Colonel Mustard in fifth.
They're all there. They're all there, you see. Yeah. What a good novice chase that is. That is an absolute cracker. Really looking forward to watching that tomorrow at 11:36, if I'm not on the dog walk at the time.
11:36, yeah, that's what's on my buses in town. But,
exactly.
Although, I mean, the form is looking, but Bally Adam did get beat in a maiden at Dundalk the other day, so I'd let the form down slightly. But yeah, Sunday, the Hatton's Grace, though, it's an interesting lineup. Tia Poo versus Ballyburn versus Mystical Power. It's ability and quirks all smashed into three very, very different horses, isn't it? You've got your three-miler, you've got your two-and-a-half-miler, you've got your two-miler. It's an odd lineup.
I was watching, what was I watching the other day? Johnny Deneen and David Jennings, our good pals from our sister show, Up the Ante.
Yeah.
See what I did there? And they were very scathing of Ballyburn. Oh, he'll never come back. And he morphed into Keith Melrose again.
I was going to say, he's back, yeah, yeah. He's from Ireland now as well, Keith, is he? Right, okay.
I don't think Rory Bremner has anything to worry about, does he, Tommy?
It was very good. He was on the Peter O'Sullivan lunch yesterday. He was absolutely superb. I've forgotten where I was going now. Well, what are we talking about?
You were doing some sort of spitting
Ballyburn
image on your own at home.
Ballyburn, yeah, they were hating Ballyburn. They were massively negative on Ballyburn. And I thought, oh, it's a bit too early to be writing off Ballyburn.
Yeah.
Did win a Grade 1 novice chase at the end of the day, didn't he? I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing him against Tiupu tomorrow,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, if
they had some great race.
If that Jimmy DeSale form's good, then, you know, also beat him 13 lengths on his last start over hurdles or whatever, it's going to be interesting. So, anything else for you, Keels, before we get the naps?
Yes. Back in October, when Paul Nicholls had his stable show, he pinpointed the Sir Peter O'Sullivan race for Brave Kingdom at 12:30 at Newbury. He's a very likely racehorse. He's had a million problems, but he said there's still a decent pot in him. He's still got all his old ability, and he is £2 lower than when he last won. He's only run 9 times in his life, which is nothing for a 9-year-old. 5 of them have been wins, 3 of them have been first time out. He was third first. He suffered his first defeat first time out last year in the Mandarin, but he only checked out approaching the last over 3.2. This is 2.6.5. Perfect. I'm sure he'll run well.
All right. Fair enough. There's another, the French Furs novice hurdle I thought was quite interesting. The horse called Out of the Woods, who I really liked at Hurdle's debut at Hexham the other day, was heavily backed and beat a stablemate and absolutely dotted up, stayed on really strongly for Lucinda Russell and Michael Scudamore. That was quite interesting. But let's get the naps, shall we, on the races we've talked about. Let's stick to those because we're giving the other ones up and down the country. So, best bets on the Newbury and Newcastle card, starting off with you, Keels.
Yeah, I am going with Indemnity in the Cherry Field.
All right, Indemnity it is for the Emma Lavelle team. Tom?
I'm going for a race we didn't talk about. I have to be up early tomorrow. It's the 11:55 at Newbury. La Conquiere for Jamie Snowden and Gavin Sheehan. I really, really liked her when she was second in the Aintree bumper. She took well to hurdles at Utoxeter. I think she'll win the first at Newbury tomorrow.
Okay, fair enough. Like I said, yeah, I want to take Keels on. I do think Give It To Me Ojo will run really well in the Cherry Field. And so,
take me on if you want. Go for it.
Yeah, but, you know. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I will. Yeah, Give It To Me Ojo it is. And don't forget, Black Friday continues. I don't even know when it is anymore, but it's still on today. The Black Friday sale, 30% off every single racing post plus package. So it runs till next Friday, which I assume is Grey Friday, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe it fades. Who knows? But that offer is available right now. Any naps on the chat before we go? Attaboy Johnny says Mark Hughes. Tia Poo's a cracking price, says Tommy Daniels. And that's it, pretty much. Lovely stuff. Right, we'll be back next week for the Tingle Creek. Lovely stuff. See you then. Enjoy your weekend. Good night.